Welcome to AT&T's teleconference service. Please enter your access code. Help button. To join the conference as the host, press star. Otherwise, please enter your host password. Your conference is already in progress. You are joining your conference as the host. For a menu of available commands, press star pound.
Hi, it's Katie Durant.
Hi, Katie. You have the Tigard staff here.
Right.
We'll take a roll call in a minute or so. Great. In Tigard, we have John Shervam, Dina Bothello, John Hershey, Sam Green, Mike Langdon, Mae Fanning, Julie Jackson, and Carmen Leyva. And on the phone we have... Okay, I got Darren.
Why don't you name the people and let them just say aye or something like that? That'll be easiest to think.
Okay.
Go through the others.
Darren, we've got you. We've got Katie. Do we have Rukai?
Yeah, and then Rex is on the line as well.
Okay. And Rukai, do we have you?
Yes, ma'am. I'm here.
Okay. Do we have Ted Wheeler? Okay. Do we have John Russell?
You do indeed.
Okay. And do we have D. Carlson?
Yes, I'm here.
Okay. Do we have Steve Rodeman?
Present.
Okay.
There should be some people from Torrey Cove, too.
And Torrey Cove folks, whom do we have on the phone?
Hi, you've got Jeff Goldberger and Skylar Houck on the phone.
Okay.
David Fan is on the phone.
And Tom Martin.
Okay, Katie, I think you can call the meeting to order.
Okay, we want to call the special meeting of the OIC to order to review the investment in Cliven. Did I pronounce that properly?
Cinven.
Okay, close enough.
Can I ask who would like
to go first? What's that?
Someone just joined the call. Can I ask who just joined?
Yes, Jen. Hi, okay. Julie.
Hi.
So this is...
Michael or Sam, do you guys want to do an overview and then we can have the Torrey Cove folks jump in?
Yeah, I'll just turn it over. Sam led the diligence on this. This is a relationship he's covered both for Oregon and then his previous life as Washington. So I'm going to turn it over to Sam's capable hands, please.
Okay, well, good morning. Sam Green from OST staff. By way of background, I'll just take a moment and comment how we got here to this special meeting. We had originally planned to do this commitment.
Can I ask who just joined?
Yeah, it's Ted. Sorry, I got delayed in my last meeting.
Okay, Ted, thank you. We just called it to order and we're just beginning.
So by way of background, we had originally intended to recommend this commitment at a level of $250 million. As we began underwriting and terms began to firm up, we realized that there were better economics to be had at a slightly higher commitment level at 250 million euro, which at today's exchange rates equates to $280 million. So given that small difference in the commitment level, we decided to do that. And based on the very formulaic decision tree that we have in policy as to whether a deal comes to the private equity committee or to the full OIC, at a level above $250 million, it has to come to the full OIC. So that's how we're here today. So staff is recommending today a 250 million euro commitment to Cinven Sixth Fund. Cinven is one of our core European managers, and an existing manager. OPERF previously committed $75 million to Fund 5. Fund 6 is going to be a 6.5 billion euro pan-European buyout fund. It'll continue the successful Cinven strategy, targeting controlling equity investments of 150 million to 600 million euro in companies with enterprise values of greater than 300 million euro. Cinven is organized around sector teams and targets industrials, the consumer, technology, media, and telecom, healthcare, business services, and financial services. Cinven targets quality companies, but ones where they see concrete paths to either accelerate growth or improve their operations. The firm is a large, talented team comprised of 21 partners and over 40 junior investment professionals. They operate from 5 European offices in London, Paris, Frankfurt, Milan, and Madrid. And then they have 2 smaller support offices to help with both Asian marketing and sourcing strategies in Hong Kong and with financing in New York. Cinven has been a strong performer over time. Over their previous 5 funds, their aggregate track record is 14.8% net IRR and a 1.7 net total value multiple. And with that intro, I will open it up if there are questions, comments, concerns.
So just one additional comment from Mike. I mean, obviously, we had approached this, as Sam noted up front, as a PEC opportunity. So the presentation, as Rakaya will know best, that you just got mirrors what we do at PEC. Unfortunately, we don't have the benefit of having the GP on the line to answer your questions. But between Sam, myself, Tori Cove, we're happy to take on any questions that you have at this stage.
Hey guys, this is Rex. Just one sort of line of question that I would have is, I would see this being a European idea. There's going to be some currency risk, and reading through the materials, it seems like they're sort of going to be, I guess, for lack of a better way of putting it, sort of opportunistic in terms of whether they hedge or not. Do you guys have any history or historical data on what they have done in the past and what has been the currency impact for their historical performance?
Yeah, you know, the euro has gone quite a wild ride since its inception, starting out around, I think, 89 cents, getting clear up to in the 150s, and now back to where it currently is at 1.12. So depending on the time frame you're looking at, for a dollar investor like us, your performance has been helped in some funds, hurt in other funds. I think the house view has always been, with regard to private equity, the timing of cash flows is so uncertain that we can't systematically hedge it, you know, at the OPERF level. And the managers themselves typically do not hedge, absent there are certain cases where you have most of your dollar or most of your revenues in one currency but your debt in another currency, they may do some targeted hedging like that. But typically, you know, we don't hedge, they don't hedge. The currency risk is just endemic to the asset class.
Right.
Yeah, I think just to add to that, I mean, for a fund like Cinven, there's multiple layers of currency exposures. As Sam noted, the businesses they invest in operate in multi-geographies. So from a revenue perspective, they have multiple currency exposures at that level, and the GP is going to be most effective, you know, matching expenses and revenues at the portfolio company level. So that's where the hedging will show up. It's at the fund level. It's very, very hard to determine when the liquidity will show. So they do very, very little hedging, and we take that exposure because we have such a large portfolio across everything. Over time, the theory is it washes out.
Okay. Yeah, Mike. Hi, it's Jeff Goldberg from Torrey Co. Just jumping in on historically looking at the funds. You know, Fund One, the returns in U.S. dollars would have been lower than in euros. Funds Two and Three, if you're a dollar investor, you actually got the benefit of some currency. Fund Four, there was a slightly lower return in U.S. dollars than in euros, and then for Fund Five, currently as well, a little bit below in U.S. dollars, but it does seem to sort of wash over time.
Yeah. And also just maybe taking a step back and just help me get up the curve a little bit. From an overall portfolio perspective, is it generally the expectation to take on some of the currency risk, generally with the expectation that things will wash out over the long term?
I think that's a fair assumption, that we're in this for the very long term. Currencies go up, they go down, and over the long run, we'll balance out.
Okay. Thank you.
I'll chime in. It's very difficult to time to buy forward contracts, and it's very expensive to hedge currency as well. So, we've seen very few private equity investors at a limited partner level ever hedge currency risk, just because of the timing and cost associated with it.
Rex, this is Rekaya. I think we have seen recently some hedging positions, but they haven't been currency hedges. I think in the infrastructure funds and energy funds, we have seen hedging and futures purchases there, but not a lot of currency risk. Is that right, Mike?
Yeah, I think that's right. I think the other thing I would add is, you know, and I hope I'm not speaking out of turn here, but as we get to version 2.0, 3.0 of Aladdin, and we see what global currency exposures we have, rolling our privates exposures into that mix, then we can have a more global think about it. But to just look at the private equity, as David said, to just look at the private equity exposures, the uncertainty of the timing of cash flows is such that it'd be expensive and we'd probably not get it right to attempt it just for private equity.
Right. Yeah, it makes total sense.
So can you guys explain again the step up from our first investment with this fund up to 250 euros? That's a big step up. What's your thinking in that?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, as Mike alluded to at the beginning, this is a group that I've had a lot of experience with. Washington had invested in every Cinven fund, and I monitored this group for Washington beginning in the year 2000. So upon joining Oregon, it was one of a handful of groups that I thought would make a very good upgrade to the Oregon portfolio. Time we made the commitment to Fund 5, it was post-global financial crisis. Private equity was substantially over its target allocation. And if you remember at that point where, you know, a lot of our standard commitments were at the 100 million level, we were cutting things back to 75 million. So we wanted to start the relationship but had a very limited allocation budget, and we're making smaller commitments. So that kind of explains the 75 million commitment we did the last time. The current direction of the program has been consolidation. We've been reducing the number of managers and increasing the size level of the commitments that we do. And we view Cinven as a core relationship worthy of this level of commitment.
And this, at the 250, puts it in line exactly with where other core relationships commitments we've been processing are at.
So for the benefit of the folks who don't sit on the private equity committee, Mike or John Sherman, can you explain your internal process for deciding whether you support these things that come to meetings like this? My assumption is that you are all in support of this before it comes to the board for discussion, correct?
That is correct, Rukaya. You know, the longer answer is you never see the 99% that are on the cutting room floor. We only show you the 1% that make it all the way through our internal processes.
Their track record from a multiple standpoint, which I prefer to IRR, is quite impressive. I assume since most of the same team is in place, other than the one guy who's stepping off to the side and letting someone else be managing partner, we believe it'll... the team's in place and it will continue?
Yes. I mean, we've seen the firm improve both, I think, the quality of their staff level as well as their internal processes over time. And we have a very good feeling about the track that they're on.
And I think it's encouraging that this is one of the few where, you know, they're not taking advantage of the current environment and taking a massive step up in fund size. I mean, I think they could potentially get away with raising 7-8 billion euros, but at the level they're talking about, it's more of the same what they've done, you know, the last two funds, which is very, you know, that gives us a lot of comfort.
Okay. Any other questions, comments? Okay. Do I have a motion to approve staff recommendation?
So moved.
Second.
All in favor? Aye.
Aye.
This is Dee. For the record, can you articulate who provided the second so it's clear, and then...
I think it was John Russell who provided the second. Is that correct, John?
That's correct.
And then just name whether or not the voting was unanimous or not.
Okay. I believe, I did not hear a no, so I believe the voting was unanimous. Please comment if it was anything other than that. Okay, voting is unanimous. Motion by Rukaya, second by John Russell.
Great.
Okay, I think we're adjourned.
Okay.
Thank you guys for making the special meeting.
Yeah, thank you very much for accommodating.
Thanks, Katie. Bye-bye.